This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No, I was just going to say, will Brock playing at the level that he's playing at? Obviously, the defense is going to have to play a lot better. By the way, did we get an injury report from Shanahan and company today? Do we know about Trent Williams playing tomorrow? George Kittle, is that official?
Just seen all of them as questionable.
Yeah, all questionable? Yeah. Okay, all right, that's fine. But no, Brock Purdy's playing at a very high level.
Trent seems way more questionable than everybody else.
Yeah, hamstring. Yeah.
I was surprised he was even, you know, semi-practicing.
Yeah. Yeah, 6 days, hamstring, come on. That's why he needs the bye week.
Austin Pleasants looked pretty good at left
tackle,
though.
Austin Pleasants, you did not. We didn't say his name once.
Yeah, I kind of can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. Now, Seattle's defense is a lot better, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they should be tough. All right, so it's time now for What's Bugging You. I know this is Bonte's favorite segment. Sterling, I hope somebody told you about this.
Okay,
thank God. All right, if rodents make it inside during winter, January is when they settle in. Chewed wires, droppings, and scratching sounds are signs they are already there. ATCO Pest Control handles removal and long-term prevention. Take action now at ATCOPestControl.com. Mention you heard about ATCO on What's Bugging You and get 10% off any rodent treatment this month. All right, I'll go first. It's youths on New Year's. It is youths on New Year's Eve, and I'm sorry, I've officially graduated. I know Bonte were talking about this earlier. You haven't been out as of late. There's nothing to feel bad about. This might be my last one. This might be the last time that I am out past midnight till God knows when, because some of the kids at these, you want to call them parties, open houses, the bars, it is too much, man. And if I was ever like this, to anybody out there listening in the Bay Area, if I was ever like this, where I was obnoxious, where, you know, you're spilling drinks on people, you're shouting in folks' ears, you're making it an awful environment for everybody outside and inside, I apologize. I apologize because I got a glimpse of it this last week across really the entire week, but it obviously culminated a few nights ago, and I cannot believe that there are so many youths out there, you know, between 18 to 21, but mainly the 21s, that make it absolutely unbearable to go out on New Year's Eve. So I apologize to everyone, and they're what's bugging me.
And it's expensive.
Well, that's
very
true.
Expensive.
Yeah, it is.
Is there any like
very
one
expensive
particular experience, or was this just combined?
Yeah, well, it was all a little hazy, Granny. But
that felt targeted, Evan.
It was all a little hazy, but there was a couple people. Not going to say which establishment because I really like that place, but it was not a fun bar to be at. I'll just say that.
All right.
No way, Grady.
What's bugging me? Yeah. A few of those over the weekend, over the
PTSD.
Week.
PTSD.
That's for sure. What's bugging me, this isn't new. I'm sure that someone has said this on this segment before. It is the scheduled kickoff and tip-off times of college football and NBA basketball games. It's bugging me. If you're saying that a game is going to start at 7, start it at 7, not 7:12.
Oh, gosh.
And same thing.
I need that buffer, though. I know I'll cut you off. But it's like movie times, right? Movie times say 5 p.m. I know I have a 20-minute buffer,
yeah,
because
just tell
the
me
movie's
7:15.
Not going to start until 5:20.
Just tell me 7:15. Like, okay, this part is my fault. I woke up early yesterday, and it was tough after New Year's Eve, but I wanted to drive up to Sonoma County and watch the Oregon football game with my dad, because I like watching big games with my dad, right? So I drive up hour and a half to Sonoma County, to Windsor, where I grew up. I'm a duck, so we go up and we watch the game. It starts at 9. I'm like, man, I got to get up early to get up in time. And I show up like at 9, raced through, got home at 9, only to realize the game doesn't kick off till 9:20. Like, and I know it's not that big of a deal, but I could have saved 20 minutes. I could have slept for 20 minutes longer, didn't have to wake up. Just if the game is going to start at 9, then start it at 9. If you're gonna start it at 9:20, start it at, say it's going to start at 9:20.
You guys 50?
Just accurately tell me what time the game is going to start.
Yeah,
that's all I'm asking.
You can see Beyonce George tomorrow night at 7:12 at Chase Center.
Please.
Sadie's aura is just lingering in this room right now. gosh, I need those buffers. It's like the movies. I know I got 20 minutes of previews. So 5 o'clock we aim for it. I'm always late anyway. Those 9 o'clock kickoffs, boom, I wake up at 9. All right, cool, I got time to brush my teeth, get a snack. 9:12, 9:15, kickoff, boom, we're good.
I know you're a big soccer fan, Bonte.
Yes.
There's something about knowing that a Premier League game is going to start right when the clock hits 10 o'clock, right when it hits 10.
See, I hate it because I get up for those Premier League games, and it's already 7 minutes in. There was 2 goals scored. I'm like, what
well,
did
that
I miss?
Doesn't happen. I mean, 2 goals in 7 minutes.
I mean, sometimes
you root for Liverpool.
yeah, Liverpool's been struggling. Yeah. What happened? I looked at Liverpool. That's who I adopted. I jumped on their bandwagon 5 years ago. They're struggling. They were in first place, and then 5 weeks later, it's like, wait, they're in 10th, 8th. What the hell is going on?
Not top of the table anymore.
I think they're 4th.
All right.
What do you got, Sterling?
It's similar to Evan and Grandy, but more combined.
Oh.
It's about fireworks. Look, I don't mind you out there celebrating on New Year's Eve. You're happy.
I like those.
Rain in the New Year's. You're feeling good. What's bugging me is fireworks at 7 p.m. Who is shooting fireworks off at 7 p.m.? I get it, midnight, a little over into 1 p.m. You're out there. Maybe you're a little buzzed. Be safe. But like 7 p.m., what are you celebrating? It's still 2025. The year isn't over yet. You're out there just popping bottles at 7 p.m. What are we doing? So I have a dog. He's getting riled up. I'm trying to give him some Benadryl, calm him down, a little bit of sleep. But it ain't working. It's like I need a buffer like Bonte needs, but you got 5 more hours until midnight. Let's calm things down. That's bugging me. Fireworks before the New Year even starts just yet.
You got to come to the mission, man. There's fireworks from 7 p.m. on the 28th till probably later on tonight.
The problem with the mission
fireworks
is
every day, every day of the year.
Well, I mean real fireworks. I'm not talking about the other fireworks. Yeah, I'm not talking about the other fireworks.
Gunshots of fireworks.
The legal ones.
The life in the mission. What's bugging me is all these people complaining about the college football playoff. Especially sports media, sports fans. Oh, why do we have this team in? Oh, why do we have them at these bowl games? Oh, why? Shut up. The college football playoff is awesome. You know how long Bonte Hill's been waiting for the CFP? I'm talking about Florida State, Miami, Notre Dame. There was one year Notre Dame beat Florida State in South Bend. And Notre Dame got robbed and had to go to the Cotton Bowl. And Florida State got to play for the championship. It didn't make any sense. We've been begging for playoffs for years now. Do they have their flaws? Absolutely. They're going to get rectified. We'll get a 16-game playoff, first 2 rounds at campuses, and go on from there. But the entire concept, how fun was last night watching Georgia?
It was an amazing
and Ole Miss.
Game.
How fun was it watching Miami take down Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl,
awesome.
Seeing that the U is back? Even the blowout, the Rose Bowl, Indiana punking Alabama. Now, I had a problem with the start time because we didn't get the dust ending in Pasadena. Should have been a 2 o'clock kickoff where the game turns into a night game in the fourth quarter, but I'll let that slide. Stop complaining about the CFP. This is awesome for sports. It's a moneymaker. And we get more football, high-level football between blue bloods that we'll never see play in a non-conference. I love the CFP, and I'm tired of it. That's what's bugging me, is people bitching and moaning about the college football playoff every single day. It is awesome, and it's here to stay.
Well, here's one more then. Tulane should be banned from the college football playoff. That was one of the worst showings I have ever seen from a football team.
Shut up, supposedly
Evan. A top 10. No, you shut up, Steiny. Tulane and Green Wave should be banished from the college football playoff for a decade for barely even showing up. You got in as the second small team, and you did what with it? Summerall decided to coach the games to do what? To get absolutely dogged by Ole Miss? No, I'm sorry. Miss me with that. So that's my last thing about the college football playoff. Green Wave, lay down.
JMU scored 35 more points than Texas Tech did against the Oregon defense.
They did backdoor cover that spread too, right? But also, we got to fix one of the biggest flaws. What's bugging me, though, about the college football? We can't have these teams take 25 days off. That's a lot. That's not fair.
Yeah.
Holidays.
Really quickly, though, this Final Four for college football, amazing. Oh. You're going to have out of the Final Four teams left, the most recent champion is 2001. You're getting fresh blood.
Fresh blood.
Awesome.
You know that Fiesta Bowl is on a Thursday. The Warriors don't play. Miami, Ole Miss.
You making a trip?
No, probably not.
He's got Utah. He's got to prepare for it. He's got to get the Utah chip.
Get the Utah chip. He's got a big stretch for the Warriors. 10 of 11 at Chase Center.
10 of 11.
I'm gonna lock in.
Before you guys go, how many are they gonna win of the next 11? 10 at Chase, all 11 in California. How many of these 11 are they gonna win?
I feel like they need to go 8-3.
8 was the number that popped into my mind,
but,
which means they'll win 6.
Yeah. In my opinion, kind of has 6-5 written all over it because you don't have a lot of cupcakes during this stretch. Toronto
like
and Miami is a back-to-back. That's long athletic teams giving the Warriors issues.
They need Milwaukee to go 8-3.
Giannis is back, right?
Yeah,
Milwaukee's in town.
Yeah, well, it could be.
Maybe knowing the NBA, Giannis, he'll probably
maybe
get an ankle
stays,
or something.
Who knows?
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know anything.
Real quick, does Jonathan Kuminga start tonight?
I'm saying yes. Kuminga starts.
Might be his last.
Over under 22.5 points?
Whoo! If he scores over 22, Evan, your postgame show is done. You don't even have to watch the
I'm
game.
I'm doing postgame tonight.
Yeah,
he's
going to
be taking calls. Just open up the phone lines and let Cam do all the work back here. As the hardest working guy at the station anyway.
Here we go. Oh,
we'll have all the graphics of Kuminga on the postgame show on NBC. When he plays 25 minutes, when he does it'll all be
and
there.
And then Jimmy and Draymond come right back tomorrow for
Utah. And then he heads to the end of the bench.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, all right, so we got Grandy, we got Serling. They're coming up for Willard and Dibs on a Friday. Payday Friday, mind you. Yeah. All ahead on 95.7 The Game. Big thank you to Bonte Hill.
Happy New Year,
stepping
guys.
In
Happy
for
New
us.
Year, Sterling. Happy New Year, Grandy. Stop fighting
Guru.
With people on Twitter.
I'm Evan
Sterling.
Saying so long.
Go Green Wave.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are intellectual.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Friday, happy New Year, happy day before the biggest Niner game since the Super Bowl nearly 2 years ago. It's Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. No Willard, no Dibs. They're back on Monday enjoying the holiday. It's Grandy and Sterling with you. Shout out to Evan. Shout out to Bonte for doing a great job filling in for Steiny and Goo. Always good to see those guys. But Sterling, we're with you, of course, until 6 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. We're going to talk a little bit of Warriors, maybe towards the end of the show as we get ready for Warriors Live at 6 o'clock, and I'll have that for you too, by the way. Busy day. But we got the biggest Niner game in nearly 2 years coming up tomorrow at 5 o'clock at Levi's Stadium, Sterling. The Seattle Seahawks are in town. Winner of that game wins the NFC West and is the number one seed in the NFC. And we were just talking about it during the crossover in disbelief. This is the Niners' reality right now, but the day is nearly here. And we got so much to talk about as it relates to this Niner game coming up tomorrow.
What did Jim Harbaugh used to say? Who's got it better than us? He said, nobody. I may ask you, why not us? Because the way this Niners team is playing, they may not be built for the playoffs. Their defense has a lot of holes, but the way Brock Purdy is playing certainly gets me excited to see what and how much damage this team can do. I'm pumped up, Grandy. I'm counting down the minutes, the seconds, the milliseconds to kick off. My wife is going to hate me at 5 p.m. tomorrow leading up to the end of that game because they'll be yelling, they'll be screaming, there'll be some other things happening because this game means everything to San Francisco 49er fans. Niners, Seahawks wouldn't want it any other way for the number one seed and the NFC West. That is what I'm talking about. That is classic NFL action right there, and it's going to be awesome to see tomorrow night.
Yeah, so before we get into that, I did want to set the stage. This is kind of the question I threw out to the guys about the Warriors right before we got off with the crossover. We'll get back to the Niners in just a sec. But first, though, as we do before every Warrior game, Dub Nation, let's get engaged. Before every game, vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll on the 95.7 The Game Twitter page, brought to you by Shane Co., your friend and jeweler, where you'll find the Bay Area's best selection of unique engagement rings and their unmatched free lifetime warranty. Visit ShaneCo.com today. Okay, starting tonight, as we just said on the crossover, 10 of the Warriors' next 11 games are at home, and all 11 are in California. The opponents for the Warriors in this 11-game stretch: OKC, Utah, the Clippers, Milwaukee, Sacramento, Atlanta, Portland, the Knicks, Charlotte, Miami, and Toronto. How many of these 11 games do the Warriors need to win in order for you to consider this a successful 11-game stretch? Is it either 6 or fewer wins, 7 wins, 8 wins, or 9 or more wins? Vote now on Twitter, and we will share the results with you coming up later on during the show. Again, that is our engaging Dub Nation Twitter poll brought to you by Shane Co. Vote now on the 957 The Game Twitter page, and we'll bring up those results coming up later. Okay, Sterling, it's Niners, it's Seahawks. Niners and Seahawks played week one of the season way back in Seattle. That feels like 4 seasons ago, given everything that's happened. I mean, just look at the team the Niners fielded on that day, Sterling, and look at the team they're fielding now. Specifically on defense, you felt 10 times more confident about that defense than you do about this defense. And oh, by the way, we had major questions about that defense, just not at a certain linebacker spot and a certain pass rusher spot. Now you have questions basically everywhere other than maybe one corner spot. Yet, you're still somehow, I mean,
even then,
you're not 100% sold. Yet, this is a Niner team that's just, as Bonte said, just a handful of minutes ago, 60 minutes away from the one seed in the NFC. And this is kind of this rivalry renewed once again. It's, maybe the best offensive mind in football versus maybe the best defensive mind in football. Certainly maybe the best defensive-minded head coach. You might say Steve Spagnuolo of the Chiefs, maybe the best defensive mind. There's a couple of others that you can throw out there as well, and he's a DC, not a head coach. But you have so many matchups. You have Darnold's history with the Niners. You have, of course, the old Niners-Seahawks rivalry. I say old, as in like a decade ago when Pete Carroll was their head coach. You have so many storylines, but the biggest one is just win and you're the one seed. And it's rarely that there is a regular season game, Sterling, with more on the line than tomorrow night at Levi's.
If only it was that simple. Win and you're in, Mark. If only that was exactly what San Francisco had to do. And you can just say it and it would come to fruition. But this game is going to be a battle of, maybe not juggernauts, but a battle of two teams that hate each other. There's rich history there. You laid it out for us already. But on top of that, these two teams, like, this can be the difference in whether it's hosting a football game in the playoffs, going to the Super Bowl. Whoever wins this game, I can easily hear someone say, may go to the Super Bowl. So I know it isn't the end-all be-all for the season. Again, you still have playoff games to play and whatnot. Anything can happen, as the NFL shows us every single season. But this game is basically not a Super Bowl, but it's a playoff game for sure.
I mean, you win and this game, you win a playoff game because you get the bye.
Yeah. Yeah. You were 100% right.
Yeah.
This is a game where, you know, you ride in a week off for Trent Williams and George Kittle, yep, who has, you know, some hamstring injuries. You have Christian McCaffrey with the back stuff and even Brock Purdy with a toe. Like, this bye week could, like, imagine San Francisco getting 2 bye weeks in 2 months. That's what this means for a team like this that's older, but also younger, to help prepare whoever they're playing for in a couple weeks' time. So, again, it isn't everything, but it certainly could be the beginning of everything for this team going forward. And you cannot understate the importance of winning this game. If you win, again, your trip to the Super Bowl is a lot easier. And if you lose, it could be on the line as quickly as 2 weeks from now.
One thing we were talking about during the crossover, and I think it was a great point that Evan brought up, was the way that McCaffrey maybe has evolved as a player. But in the back of my mind, what I'm thinking as well is, What I think partially explains what he's been doing lately is that bye week late in the season and how it feels like he's kind of been revitalized. And of course, that's going to help an older running back. It's going to help every player, but specifically an older running back. That also, I'm sure, helped Trent Williams. It helped George Kittle. It helped Kyle Juszczyk. It helped all these veteran players that have a lot of miles on their body. Just imagine what another bye week would do this late in the season. And you could even forget like the part of advancing a game in the postseason, even if this just was like Niners win and via that, like the whole playoff picture gets pushed back a week and you didn't advance through the playoffs. Like, you didn't actually get a bye. You just had a week off before the postseason began and you were still going to have to win 3 games just to get to the Super Bowl. Like, even that would be valuable. Of course, advancing into another round is valuable in and of itself, but there's few teams out there, Sterling, that you would think would benefit more from a bye week than this Niner team, considering the load that's been on McCaffrey, considering Kittle is trying to work his way back from an injury, considering that Trent Williams likely not going to play tomorrow. You give them another week off, like you might be getting the best version of the Niners all season, beginning to when they first play in a postseason game. And that is one of the common threads of Super Bowl champions, is you play your best in January, and the Niners are certainly like leaning in that direction because their offense surely has never been this good. We got major questions about the defense, but they're definitely playing better than they have the rest of the season. They haven't lost since Brock Purdy returned, Sterling.
We'll take it a step further. The last two times San Francisco has gone to a Super Bowl, they were the number one seed. The bye week helps immensely, whether it is that 2019 team that was still young and upcoming and kind of coming into their own, or even 2023 where they were just rock stars all over the place and they got banged up in that game against KC. But still, that bye week matters so much. It not only takes pressure off the guys, especially younger guys, that you know you're playing back-to-back games and you know, you're playing tough games. And when you go through a stretch of playing the Bears and the Seahawks and you know, those are two big playoff games you have to win if you want to get the number one seed. Taking that pressure off almost allows you to have a mental reset of, okay, where's my body at? How do I feel? And it also gives Robert Saleh and the coaching staff time to kind of, you know, tighten the hinges and say, let's get back after it. You know, whoever we're playing, whether it's Carolina or Green Bay or whoever it may be in you know, 1 to 2 weeks' time. Like, it just allows a reset. And I don't know about you, Mark. I need a holiday reset, and San Francisco may need one too if they can get this win tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm a little sluggish recovering from the holiday, and I don't go out every week and let 250 pound dudes like dive into me head first. So I can only imagine. I can only imagine how these football players must feel around the holidays, Sterling. But yeah,
I couldn't imagine Mark Grandy walking outside, no helmet, no pads, and just letting 250 pounds dude just tackle up on the streets of San Francisco and saying, "Okay, I'll see you on Monday morning."
I mean, that might happen in San Francisco every once in a while. I mean, you never know what happens.
It's a lively city.
It is. You can find that if you want it. I'll put it that way, Sterling. But there's no doubt that this is an incredibly valuable game coming up tomorrow for the 49ers and for the Seahawks. I mean, Seahawks are either the 1 or the 5. They're locked in to those two spots. Niners could fall all the way to the 6. And we're going to lay out like all the scenarios, Sterling, later on in the show, just to get a sense of how valuable this game is tomorrow. Because I know you're in the playoffs. This is not, for example, Baltimore-Pittsburgh, which will close the day Sunday. This is not that. Win, and you're in the playoffs. Lose, and you're not, which is, you know, by definition, basically a playoff game. You win that game, you're alive. You lose that game, your season is over. This is not that, because both teams will have at least one more game, even if they lose tomorrow. But just to look at what how the path might change, Sterling, based on tomorrow's result, if you win, you're the one seed. You have two home games in order to advance to the Super Bowl. Now, those two games are not going to be easy. It's very possible those two games are Rams and Seahawks. Like, it's possible it could be that. It could be Rams and Eagles. It could be Seahawks and Eagles. Like, there's a lot of ways that it can play out, and likely those two games that you would play at home are going to be very tough. But let's say you lose tomorrow. There is a relatively likely scenario where your three playoff games, should you keep winning in the NFC, are in Philadelphia, in LA versus the Rams, and in Seattle versus the Seahawks. I cannot think of a more tougher gauntlet of three games to get through in the NFC than that. So I know they're in the postseason, and I know for so many of us, like middle of the season, we just asked, make the postseason. I will call that a success. And I think, you know, I'm still on that train, but you got to win tomorrow. Otherwise, I find it very difficult. You're going to be able to make it out of the NFC with that potential gauntlet staring you down.
Well, to think of the last time San Francisco wasn't the number one seed in the playoffs, I think it was, 2021? 2022?
The Rams NFC Championship game year.
Yes, yeah. On the road in Dallas, on the road in Green Bay, in the snow, won that game because you know, the Packers offense couldn't do anything, and a Jordan Willis blocked punt led to a Talon Noah Hufanga touchdown.
Hufanga!
And then you had the game against the Rams with San Francisco. Probably should have won, but for a lot of reasons, couldn't get it done. Like, it's a tough task to ask any team, let alone a team that maybe is considered one of the best in the conference, to go on the road and play an opposition. The more hits you take, your longevity goes down, your health goes down. And I don't know about you, I would prefer if my stars take less snaps leading into a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Just simply because you've seen this team get to the pinnacle and fall short because of a lot of injuries catching up to them. So, you know, San Francisco's had to ride that lightning basically the whole year of we're one game away from not going to this and not going to that. We're one game away from clinching this and clinching that. And, you know, I can't think of a better way to end the year or a more fitting way to end their season of you're either the number one seed or you're 5 or 6. And you can really say, you know, being 5 or 6 seed, while not catastrophic, you know, that may feel catastrophic to the fans or to us of like, you had it right there in your grasp and you couldn't win one more game. And you ask this Niners team to go on the road and play 3 games, probably isn't the best best case for success with how bad this defense has been the most of the season.
Yeah, yes, thank you, Pasta. Yeah, that would be very, very difficult. We're going to give you all like the potential paths and what to root for. We're going to give you your Niner fan rooting guide for Week 18. We'll do that later on because there are a lot of moving pieces. So if you're kind of unsure of how the certain team winning and losing changes the puzzle pieces around, stay tuned. We will get to that before we get on out of here today at 6 o'clock. But we're talking a lot of Niners, so if you want to get in on the conversation, you can do so by calling 888-957-9570. That is also the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Plenty more to get into. Let's dive into this matchup specifically versus the Seahawks. I think there are a couple of areas where the Niners have a major advantage over Seattle, and one of them, I don't know, maybe it's going to surprise you. We'll get to that, plus a whole lot more. It's Willard and Dibbs, Sterling and Grandy in on the 2nd of January 2026. Tomorrow is the biggest game of the year, and you know the place to be to watch and hang. That's with Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings at Laughing Monk Brewing, right down the street from the stadium. And, of course, if you're going to the game, there's a free shuttle back and forth, and all you have to do is sign up at 957thegame.com. Better do it quickly because seats on the shuttle are going fast. That's 957thegame.com. And we're sponsored by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans. More Willard and Dibbs next on 957 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 957 The Game.
Yeah, welcome back. No Willard, no Dibs on the January 2nd today. They'll be back coming up on Monday. They'll react to Niners Seahawks, which is tomorrow at 5 from Levi's Stadium on ESPN. It's the second game of a doubleheader tomorrow in the NFL. Panthers in Tampa Bay versus the Buccaneers, which bad team is going to make the postseason. That's what that game is. And then Niners and Seahawks, which team will win the NFC West and be the one seed in the NFC. That's the second game coming up tomorrow on ESPN. Then you got a full slate of Sunday football, Week 18. It is really sad, Sterling. Obviously, the postseason is an incredibly exciting time, and for Niner fans specifically, tomorrow is going to be incredible. It is really, really sad that 2 days from now, this Sunday, is the final like full Sunday of NFL that we're going to have all the way until we get to September next year. It is really sad how quickly the season always goes.
Well, I can tell you this, while we are both mourning the loss of the 2025 NFL season, my wife is jumping for joy because she gets her husband back. Now, thankfully, San Francisco's in the playoffs, so and hopefully they can keep this thing going for as long as possible. But yeah, she has been patiently waiting since about August for the season to end. But I tell her, honey, I ain't coming home just yet. We got a couple more weeks to go. So Niners, you can win the next month or so. We can have a lot more fun and hopefully maybe not keep my wife in agony, but keep her patiently waiting behind the scenes because this team can go pretty far. And I think that this game on Saturday can be a big determining factor in that. But yes, you're right, Mark, for what is it, 16, 18 other fan bases, their season ends and they look towards the draft in April, which is still a long, long ways away.
Yeah, I was going to say, Niners could be playing for another month or so. And then you just turn your attention right to draft prep. So I don't know when your wife is ever, you know, going to get you back, but
such is life, Mark. Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Niners, Seahawks tomorrow. Biggest game since the Super Bowl for the 49ers. And I don't think it's really all that close. You can take out anything that happened last year that came nowhere close. The Bears this past week was obviously a gigantic game for the Niners, but nothing comes close to a win, and you win the division, and you're the number one seed. The only thing that that beats that of late is that Super Bowl of a couple of years ago. So we'll see what happens. We're going to talk about it. Let's break down this matchup coming up in a sec, but first, let's go out to the phone lines, and if you want to weigh in anything Niner-related, feel free to do so. This is for you guys. 888-957-9570. Robert is in Dublin and wants to talk about Niners and Seahawks. What's up, Robert? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Sterling and Grandy in, though. Happy New Year. What's up, Robert?
Hey. Happy New Year, fellas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Just basically wanted to say, man, I think the Niners defense needs to be patient. Keep them guys in front of you. And I'm going to close with D'Amador Lenore. Whatever you do, you need to back up whatever you talking that trash to that Smith and Jigba, young man. That dude is nice. So, hey, I look forward to it. Bang, bang, Niner gang, let's go. And quest for six, baby. Let's do it at home. Y'all have a happy new year and take it easy.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that, Robert. Back at you. It's interesting that he brought up D'Amador Lenore and Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Sterling, because it's something that you and I were talking about when we're getting ready for the show. If we dive into a little bit of X's and O's for a little bit, it would make some sense initially when you look at it to have Demo just kind of follow Jaxon Smith-Njigba wherever he goes. And if you're mostly just a Niner fan and you don't watch a lot of other football, you might remember JSN, who hurt the Niners week one. He was really good. He's been even better the rest of the season. I think pretty clearly has been the best receiver in football all season long. There's a couple of others that are up there with them. Puka Nacua of the Rams, and they're right here in this division as well. And some others, of course, as well have been amazing. But JSN has burst onto the scene as one of, if not the best receiver in the NFL this season. And the Niners, as we talked about a little bit earlier, Sterling, are pretty inexperienced at cornerback, and they're inexperienced really everywhere defensively. The one guy that you trust and that you feel like is clearly an above-average starter in the NFL is D'Amador Lenore, but the one thing, Sterling, the Niners don't really do all that often is have a corner follow one single receiver over the course of an entire game. Normally, Demo chooses a side, and whoever's on that side is the guy that he guards on that play.
Well, I can't even think of the Niners doing that once this season, but on top of that, the last time I think San Francisco did have a cornerback shadow a wide receiver was against Seattle, but it was Tre'Davious Ward against DK Metcalf, yeah. And that worked out in their favor, and they won that game and won that series against the Seahawks in 2023. But you don't have that luxury of having a Lenore opposite Tre'Davious Ward or you know, whoever else was playing nickel at the time. I think it may have been one of their safeties. But you know, right now, you have Renardo Green, who's in year two and been rather up and down. Upton Stout may or may not play because of a concussion. I think he's in the final stages of passing protocol, but if it's not him, it's Chase Lucas. And you have Darrell Luter Jr., and you have two safeties that are boom or bust, and a lot more bust in that than there is boom. And so you don't have the luxury of playing or allowing your top cornerback to shadow guys. I'd rather have one side of the field locked down than one guy locked down, because it takes away a lot of what Darnold can do. But, you know, really, no matter how you shake things off and however you want to decide to scheme up against Seattle, you are putting your team in harm's way no matter what, which that is the unfortunate place San Francisco finds their defense in right now.
Yeah, and Robert Saleh was asked about this very thing. I know this wasn't exactly what Robert asked about. One, he was talking about Demo trash-talking, and he better back that up. Demo, he's got a loud mouth. In a lot of ways, it's a good thing. He has a lot of fun with it. But he's not shy, and he's an equal opportunity hater, as they say. Everybody can get it. And he's going to target the opposing team's best players, and certainly Jaxon Smith-Njigba fits that. If we're talking specifically, though, about if Lenore is going to follow JSN around, it And this is what Robert Saleh had to say. Essentially, he said it's easy for Lenore because he just goes wherever that guy is. But it becomes more difficult for everybody else defensively. For example, let's say on a certain play or a handful of plays, Sterling, that JSN lines up in the slot. And Lenore is, he's shadowing him around. He just lines up in the slot. Where does that leave your slot corner, your nickel corner? Where does Upton Stout play? You feel comfortable putting him on the outside against someone like Rashid Shaheed or Torrey Horton or whoever the deep threat is for the Seahawks? Like, no, you don't feel good about that at all. So,
not a fan.
Robert Saleh did not say they're not going to do it. They're not going to tell opponents what their plan is defensively. I feel pretty confident, though, we're going to see Lenore do what he always does, which is you pick a side of the field. Whenever JSN is over there, you'll guard him. Whenever somebody else is over there, you'll guard him because they want to keep their inexperienced, unproven, and relatively limited guys defensively in spots they're the most comfortable. And right now, that's Lenore on the outside, and it is as well, Upton Stout on the inside in the slot spot as the nickel corner. Other than that, it's just going to be kind of normal for the Niners, which maybe doesn't give you the most confidence because normal for the Niners has been really bad of late. But I do think it is better than the alternative, which is putting guys in spots that they are not familiar or comfortable with at all.
Well, it's the age-old question of, do you change things for the sake of one game and changing things up, or do you keep an inexperienced defense in a situation in which they're comfortable at, knowing that if you remove them from a comfortable situation where they may feel more confident, you could have one of the worst games of the entire defense's season, which Chicago was certainly that. The Rams game, Levi's was that for sure, but you run the risk of, if you take this inexperienced secondary out of their comfort zone, you could be in for a 40-point performance for the Seahawks offense. And I love the Niners offense right now, but the odds are putting 40 points against Seattle's defense is pretty slim knowing how good they're playing. So, again, it's kind of a catch-22. I get it. You want to have your best defensive player guard their best offensive player, but like you're saying, there's a massive risk in doing so, and Robert Saleh probably is better of not doing that simply because they can't afford to have, you know, 36 points or 40 points put up against them, which has been a very high possibility for a lot of games this year.
Yeah, Niners' last two games, they've scored 90, so they're averaging 45 in their last two, but those defenses are Indiana and Chicago. Not that they're terrible defenses by any stretch, specifically Chicago. They give up a lot of yards, but they turn the ball over quite often. Seattle, though, is just flat out one of the best defenses in the NFL. Probably, I think, in most people's minds, the second best defense in the league behind D'Amico Ryan's Houston Texans. I think most people would say Houston number one and then Seattle number two. There's maybe a couple of other teams that you could include in that conversation, but this is a defense that across the board is really, really good, Sterling. And then specifically when you look at how the Niners have fared versus this defense and specifically how the quarterback Brock Purdy has fared versus this defense, you and I were talking about this earlier. Think back to when Mike McDonald was the young defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens in 2023. That was his most recent job before taking the head coach of the Seahawks over last year. He's now in his second year as the head coach of the Seahawks. Year before was the DC of the Ravens. So last 2 years, Purdy versus the Seahawks and Purdy versus the Ravens in 2023, which was, of course, that infamous Christmas Day game where Brock threw four interceptions. And the Niners lost that game, and Purdy simultaneously lost the MVP. Brock Purdy, in four games in his career, versus Mike McDonald defenses. Three versus the Seahawks the last 2 years, and that one versus the Ravens a couple of years ago. Seven total touchdowns, one on the ground, six passing touchdowns, one on the ground, and seven interceptions. Seven touchdowns, seven interceptions for Brock Purdy versus Mike McDonald defenses in his career. That doesn't give you the most confidence about Brock going into this game.
When there's two games within those four that have multiple turnovers, including that four interception game on Christmas, which that was a long day for your boy at the station, I'll tell you that. When it was Warriors in the morning and Niners at night, and that was full. I was filled with Martinelli's and we were having a good time, but you know, you're hoping tomorrow ends a little differently for San Francisco. But you're right. This is a defense that has historically given a Shanahan offense some fits. And while, yes, you can talk about Brock having a great game, and I think there's every reason to believe that he can come out of this game on top, and he's played good enough to have that much belief that he can take this team all the way, if everything goes well for them. But you're playing a defense that has been somewhat of this offense's kryptonite in recent seasons. Even go back to last year against Seattle. Geno Smith walked off this team at home at Levi Stadium, which, you know, the Niners were kind of in the playoff hunt there, but didn't belong in it by any means. But they've been a thorn in this offense's side, and this team has been frisky. They've, you know, been, you know, 17 weeks in between their last outings. They believe they're the better team, and rightfully so. Seattle, I think, is the better team of these two. Now, sometimes better teams don't always win games, but you know, this isn't just a test for Brock Purdy. This is equally a test for Kyle Shanahan too, of like, can you overcome not just a division rival, but also can you overcome a defense that has given you fits and kind of made you look foolish at times as a play caller?
And this is also, I think, Kyle Shanahan at his best of late. Like, we're going to talk a lot about Brock Purdy, and we got a phone call to get to in just a sec. I see you, Gene. We're coming to you. We're going to talk a lot about Brock. We're also going to talk a bunch about Kyle Shanahan. And there was something that the guys in the midday, it was Evan and Bonte filling in for Steiny and Goo and doing a great job. Fun show to listen to. And I think it was Evan who brought up that he thought Kyle Shanahan was having as much fun as he ever has as head coach and play caller of the 49ers. And it got me thinking, like, there's something to be said, Sterling, for feeling challenged and feeling like not everything is kind of tailor-made for you, and you don't have the best roster, and you don't have all this crazy talent around you. Like, the argument has been made for all of Brock Purdy's career. Well, just wait until he doesn't have the Avengers around him, right? Well, guess what? What did he do last week? You don't have Debo. He is, of course, not on the team. You don't have Ayuk. Haven't had him all season. And this is the case for the entire season, but specifically the last couple of weeks, and even more specifically, last week versus Chicago, when they scored on almost every possession and scored 42 points, and they needed every single one of those points to win that game. But no Kittle, no Ayuk, no Debo, no Trent Williams. And what does Brock Purdy do? Puts together arguably the best game of his career with 5 total touchdowns and some really crazy high-level plays. The same, I think, could be said for Kyle Shanahan, who's at his best and maybe, to Evan's point, is having more fun than he's ever been before because he feels like he's having a bigger impact. Like, when the Niners had Debo at an all-pro level and Kittle at an all-pro level and Ayuk at an all-pro level and Trent was healthy playing left tackle and Brock was playing at an MVP level, and so was McCaffrey. Like, how much was really riding on Kyle Shanahan's creativity and play-calling decisions? Whereas it feels like right now, the Niners might win or lose a game because of one single Kyle Shanahan decision, and it feels like he loves that responsibility, and he loves having that much on the line, and that's what it's been for the last month.
The last couple years, and maybe excluding 2024, but 22 and 23... Not to say Shanahan wasn't challenged, because each game has its own wrinkles and stuff you need to kind of discover, but it almost felt like, not that he's coasting either, but his job was just so easy until playoff time came, where it's like, yeah, I can just play point guard. I can just, you know, facilitate. I know my guys are going to be open. I know Debo's always my safety kind of outlet. And, you know, in kind of a way, it's like comparing Shanahan to a Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback of like, I don't need to do much because other guys can carry that load for me. And now Kyle's still great, and within that, there's still greatness, and you can see it on display through those years. But this year, to me, Shanahan seems like the type of guy, the type of mind that really enjoys a challenge of, okay, my back's against the wall. My team can't afford to not score on the next 5 drives. What do we concoct in this mad scientist laboratory we have going out here in Santa Clara? And you've seen the last 6 weeks or so of like, if they had one slip up, if they lost a single game, we wouldn't be talking about, oh, biggest game of the year tomorrow. I'd be like, okay, are you playing for the 5th or 6th seed, right?
They might might think about resting players, honestly, tomorrow.
Right, and like that goes to prove, one, how great Purdy has been and how, you know, good his performance has, you know, been, but also the way Shanahan has conducted the offense, the schemes, the scripted plays, the non-scripted plays, without Pearsall, without Kittle at times, without Trent Williams, it's not just hindering him without the personnel he has or should have as his starters, but also, you know, to overcome missing pieces, to plug in DeMarcus Robinson and Kendrick Bourne, who was cut by the Patriots to begin the season, and you might get 600 yards in this offense. That's incredible. Like, the way Shanahan has played this year, it's almost like he has searched out the challenge and willfully accepted it, saying, I have to do this, because if we don't, and if I fail, this team equally fails too.
Yeah, and this whole conversation about maybe, you know, like a play caller, a head coach, a CEO type who feels happier, you know, the more pressure is on him when he has that responsibility and he knows everything is kind of riding on the decisions he makes. I always think back to something that Steve Kerr said years ago, and I'm sure you remember this, Sterling, but it was the year after Kevin Durant left the Warriors. So he went to the Nets. The Warriors got D'Angelo Russell in that sign-and-trade. Klay was out for the year after tearing his ACL. Steph got hurt early in the season and was out. And I think Draymond was in and out of the lineup, but it didn't really matter because the Warriors were terrible without KD, without Steph, without Klay. And they were so bad that they were out of the postseason early. Then the pandemic happened, but they were so bad even before that, it didn't even matter. And Steve Kerr was quoted saying something along the lines of, I've enjoyed coaching the team this season more than the last handful of years because of the challenge, essentially. Because when you trot out Steph and KD and Klay and Draymond and Iguodala and all these players every single game, it's like, what is there for the coach to even do? Right? Like, what do you do on a day in and day out basis other than managing egos and all of that? But like, from a basketball standpoint, what do you do? And that might be a little bit what Shanahan felt, say, back in 2023, when the team was the best team in football basically the entire season. And football basketball is different. Of course, there's a whole lot more game planning that goes into a single football game than a single basketball game. But this year for Shanahan might be similar to that post-KD season for Steve Kerr, where he feels like he has so much more of an impact on the team. And I feel like that's what's going on for the Niners this year as well. 888-957-9570. Gene is in Oakland and wants to weigh in. What's up, Gene? You're on Willard and Dibs, but no Willard or Dibs today. It's Sterling and Grandy with you. What do you got?
Hey, Happy New Year, guys.
You too.
So, So here's the deal. I mean, I'm not worried about the offense. I mean, not having Trent Williams potentially and most likely is an issue, but we didn't have him last week, really. He hurt himself in the first place. We will have Kittle, so we can't expect 42 points again, but I'm not worried about the offense. I am worried about the defense, as is everyone else. Specifically, we need to find a way, or Robert Saleh needs to find a way, to put pressure on Darnold. Okay? Darnold is a bigger, more experienced, and actually better quarterback, Taylor, except when he's under pressure. We want this guy to feel the pressure somehow so that he begins to see ghosts, because we know what happens when that happens. I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe he has to be really creative with some bits, plays, packages, whatever. And I know they're reluctant to do that and you leave the field open. But I really feel as though if you can really make this guy think or worry about pressure, at some point during the game, he's going to make a mistake or two. And that's how we're going to win.
Mm. Interesting, Gene. Appreciate the call. And Happy New Year to you as well. I think that there is no doubt, Sterling, that if the 49ers are to win this game, a big part of it is going to be because their quarterback outplays the Seahawks quarterback. And I think that's likely the way that this game goes. Now, if that's enough to get the Niners the win, we will see. But, I mean, you just ask both fan bases and you get honest answers out of them. Who do you feel more comfortable and confident in going into this game, Brock Purdy or Sam Darnold? I think everybody would say Brock Purdy. I don't know how you couldn't at this point. I mean, these are quarterbacks that the way that they've been playing of late are kind of headed in opposite directions. Does not mean that Darnold is bad by any stretch. He's an above-average quarterback and has had a far above-average season, but the last half of the season has not been nearly as good as the first half of the season, and Brock Sterling is arguably playing the best football of his entire career.
You asked the big question there, right? Which quarterback do you trust more? And I think that's what this game comes down to. Obviously, there's more to it, defenses and special teams, but and you hate to chalk a game up to quarterbacks because so much more goes into it, but like that really what this, whoever scores more points wins, right? And the offenses and the quarterbacks are responsible for that. So I think head and shoulders, almost every head coach, every offensive coordinator, every team probably would say, give me Brock Purdy over Sam Darnold. And I think whether that's because of the way both those quarterbacks are trending, Purdy having, 13 touchdowns in his last three games and only a handful of turnovers, and Sam Darnold having, what is it here, in his last seven games, he's 6-1, but he has 8 touchdowns and 10 turnovers.
Yep.
Like, that's not something you want to be showing on the field in December and leading into January. You don't want to be trending in the wrong direction, and I don't think it's crazy to say that San Francisco may have the hottest hand in football playing quarterback for them, and that is a hot knife through butter against any defense, no matter how good they are, and it takes a Herculean effort to beat quarterbacks. Like, go back to Mahomes when he's in his prime and he's healthy. He's unstoppable. Now, Brock Purdy is not Patrick Mahomes. We all know that, but the way he's playing, well, you know, Chris Collinsworth was out there choking like, oh my God, this guy might be Patrick Mahomes. Like, and that's how good he's been the last couple of weeks, and obviously Purdy has a you know, he'll turn the ball over too, but this is the best quarterback play they've gotten in 30 years, you know, out of these guys, whether it's Garcia, Garoppolo, Kaepernick, Smith. This is the best they've seen, and it's really hard to root against or vote against quarterbacks like this when they're on a heater, whether it's Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. It's Brock Purdy right now, and he's playing the best of any quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, well, let's talk more about that on the other side, about this QB battle, because it's Brock Purdy versus Sam Darnold. There's a lot of familiarity there. Sam Darnold, by the way, gives Brock Purdy a lot of credit for why his career kind of turned around. Interesting. You're going to want to hear what he had to say almost a whole year ago about Brock. A whole lot more to dive into. Brock Purdy or Sam Darnold? You have more faith in Brock at this point, right? If you are a fan of these teams, you're taking Brock, and I don't think it's that close. 888-957-9570. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good, and we're sponsored by the Inn at the Tides in Bodega Bay. Picture yourself in a cozy room by the fire, enjoying breathtaking views of Bodega Bay. This time of year is magical at the Inn at the Tides. Special midweek rates start at just $199 per night. Book your escape now, innatthetides.com. Time for a break. Willard and Dibs with Sterling and Grandy in. Back next on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.